Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello. The sharp intake of breath means that it's time for
the beginning of the podcast.
This is I Am Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trombley Burchell, and you're listening to Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
And I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair. I don't know. Did we do the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas already?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
You just said it, that I bloody-mindedly introduced myself again, and I, you know, and we fall into the rhythms. They're so natural. But, you know, we can just play with rhythms of speech. People aren't interested in words anymore and concepts and that sort of thing. It's about rhythms. It's about highs and lows. It's about, you know, modulating a sort of a vibe.
Feeling good, feeling bad.
It's all about feeling good and feeling bad.
Feeling tense, feeling release.
Tension, release. This is what I like to do with my comedy shows. I'm messing everything up. I do release straight up the top, right? And then the rest is all tension.
That's good. One big release at the top.
Huge release. Yeah, and then just I slowly build the tension.
Steadily
and
more
then
tense.
It ends.
Oh, that's good. The end is, in a way, its own added tension.
Added tension because I don't tell anybody that it's ended, right?
That's so good.
Yeah. I keep going, but the show ends, right? And then and then people are like, they don't know what's happening.
I think it would be good if you wanted attention to stay high.
Yes. I follow them home.
You go
back to their cars, still doing comedy.
Maybe you hurt yourself, right? In the sort of last minute.
I love it.
You kind of like, you stub your toe or something like that, and it's like, ah, it's really bleeding.
Yeah.
Ah, like that. And you go, excuse me for just one moment. And then you go.
I gotta go get something for this.
And then you never come back.
And I love this. And by the way, the tension has been building for 45 minutes. And then I start to bleed quite a bit. So it's all tension.
Yeah.
Blood.
Oh, I mean, I guess you kind of need to hit your head.
I do need to hit my head, don't I? I'm getting into some real graphic description of something. Yeah.
And then you come up, you hit your head on what looks
like crouching down, I come up. Maybe hit my head just on the mic stand or something. Maybe earlier in the show I've complained about the mic stand.
It needs to be on something that looks rigid.
Yeah, well, I've complained about how rigid the mic stand
is. That's good.
That's
there you go. Oh, man, I watched this show last night, and maybe there's something in this.
You watched the show last night, and how rigid were the mic stands?
No, they didn't look rigid, right? But it was a sort of a stand-up show. It was playing on the air. Right.
Wait. What do you mean?
Like it was a stand-up show.
Playing on the air. What does that mean?
On the air, on TV.
It was on live TV?
It wasn't live TV.
Was it on broadcast TV?
It was on broadcast TV.
You were watching broadcast TV?
Yeah, I just turned on broadcast TV.
And they were playing stand-up?
Yeah, they were playing a guy who's basically as big as you can get in this country.
Okay. This is incredible.
It was Adam Hills.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Hillsy. Right? Adam Hillsy Hills. Yep.
But he was, you know, clearly there was lots of
love in the room.
Crowd interaction that was built into the show.
Yeah.
But to...
And by that, what do you mean exactly?
Like as in, like, he's talking to people in the crowd and he's getting them to say in their language, the other language that they speak, something to make it sound sexy, right? Anyway, the important thing is that on numerous occasions... I'm pretty sure I'm not misreading this.
Yeah.
To give it the sense of spontaneity, he kept going, I don't know what I'm going to do next. And then he would go into some big elaborate thing with the people again. And then he would go, I don't know what I'm going to do next. And then do another thing that was clearly a pre-prepared bit.
Yeah. But I guess that's life, isn't it? Yeah, it's everything, you know. Because you don't know what you're going to do next, because you could, you know, take a knife and stab yourself in the head, you know.
I guess.
You could.
So maybe he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do next. And then in his head he goes, oh, I'll just do that bit that I prepared.
I'll do the prepared bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always another option.
Because he goes, oh, could I slam my head in a doorway? No, I'll do the prepared bit.
The thing
that I made it seem like this big set piece. And then, because then it's like, you know, after he goes through all the people in the crowds, get them to say things, make them sound sexy. Then he goes, oh, I don't know what I'll do next. I know. And then he'd get two people up on stage and get them to act out a porn scene where they have to say things and make it sound sexy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
And I highly recommend it. Yeah. And he's here tonight.
he's our guest today. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I did this. I mentioned this now.
Alistair, it's important, and I'm glad you brought it up.
I didn't know what I was going to do next, even though I'm sure I really prepared to say that on this
all
podcast.
That stuff, yeah? That was all in you building
up. Is there
up.
A sketch idea in any of this, Andy?
And this thing of someone who just builds tension.
Yeah, or somebody who pretends like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
To make it make their prepared thing seem more special.
Well, I like the idea of, you know, the fake spontaneity of things that people do in stand-up comedy, and I don't know if they do that in any other professions, but I like the idea of that being inserted into something else, you know, or, you know, somebody mm-hmm. who's got a plant in the audience, you know, maybe someone at a tech expo or something like that who does all, they're a CEO, mm-hmm. right, who has all the little tricks of the trade of stand-up comedy, but they just do, they do presentations of their company's new wireless bath thermometer, you know, and everyone's very excited, by the way, about the wireless bath thermometer.
So there's a bath thermometer a thermometer that doesn't have a wire.
Alistair, you're getting this. You're 100% understanding the concept, but I know why you're laughing at the idea, because you're picturing a thermometer that's not supposed to have wires. But the wireless one that I was talking about was one that would have had wires.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not what you're saying.
No.
It's not stupid in the way that you're saying it's stupid. Okay. Because the one that I'm thinking of is one where the thing that I said makes it doesn't.
Isn't, no, you're right. And that's the thing is that that's the thing we both need to realize about ourselves, and we've discussed this before.
Yes.
That if you're picturing something silly in your head after I've said something. Well, that's not the thing I meant.
Yeah, I meant a better thing.
I meant the thing that isn't not system, where the laughter isn't at my expense, but with me.
With me, and even louder than what it's getting now.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely.
So I guess it's. But he's. But I mean, that's still kind of a performance in a way, that guy.
Mm.
Is there a scenario in which you would want.
What about it's just. Now I'm laughing at my own idea, so you can tell I think it's going to be good.
With you or at you?
Well, I'm laughing at myself.
Okay.
But it is someone who does this in day-to-day life.
Great.
Okay, telling anecdotes and that sort of thing. Mm. They're not a performer in any way, but they are somebody who likes to think of themselves as, you know, the life of party or like, you know, a good conversationalist. Sure. And then people start to realize that they are bringing plants. They have plants in conversations, just, you know, at a party in a conversation circle. There's always one or two people who, like, later on people are like, that guy who chipped in with that thing, do you know him? No, I don't know him. Do you know that person? I don't know that person. Yeah, so he's bringing along actors to, like, feed lines into his story or whatever. He's manipulating scenarios. He gets somebody to wear a particular hat that he can make fun of.
Yeah, and he could even do it.
Like,
you know,
a great hat. You look like, what is it, the 4th of July?
That's good. I mean, he could do that, you know, even when he's buying something that's like the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
get somebody to come and look at chocolate bars or either compliment him or just...
That's great. This is how insecure he is, right? Hey, you're so funny, man.
That was really funny. Did you come up with that off the top of your head, the way that you insulted that guy's stranger's hat? I mean, that's the way that it could definitely backfire for him, because he's like, him and this other guy have come up with this routine.
Yeah.
Or he's come up with it, and then he's got this, he's made his friend tag along.
Mm.
But then at some point people are like, actually, you're being quite mean to that guy.
I don't think it's his friend. I think it's just a commercial relationship. He did auditions or something like that.
Yeah, right. He's hired people off of like Craigslist or...
Craigslist. Star Now.
Great. Yeah. So it's an actor.
Could be an actor. Yeah,
great. Or an extra.
Could be quite a famous actor. Could be one of the Hollywood A-list celebrities.
Could it be... who's the guy in... Richard E. Grant? Could it be Richard E. Grant?
Who's the guy in Richard E. Grant? I have no
who's
idea.
Who's the guy in Richard...
I wonder what the E stands for. Eric? Maybe it's Eric.
Oh, Evelyn?
Evelyn.
Evelyn can be a man's name.
He seems like a guy whose middle name would be Evelyn.
Yeah. He seems lovely.
He does seem lovely, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A little bit crazy as well.
That's what I like.
Those eyes.
I like
that
in a person.
Yeah, those eyes and that smile. And the rest of his face as well.
His body.
And the way he carries himself. And of course, you can't discount the things that he says as well.
Yeah, that's
really
right.
Contribute to another.
And I guess the things that he does.
Things that he does, definitely. I shouldn't have left those out. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the things that he does. But also, and the way he makes me feel.
Mm. And then there's, I guess, the things that other people say about him and how he's crazy.
And also, he came into my house the other day. He shouted through the letterbox, "I'm going to mow your lawn, cunt." Right? And I came out.
"I'm going to mow your lawn, cut?"
Yeah. "I'm going to mow your lawn, cut."
Was he directing his own lines? "I'm going to mow your lawn. I mean, I'm going to mow your own. I'm going to mow your lawn.
No,
cut."
I think if someone said, "I'm going to mow your line," that's when you cut.
Cut. Yeah. You said
and
line.
The line isn't line. What? How can the line not be line? The line is line.
Line isn't line.
Oh, look. I thought there was something.
No, there is something
there's
there.
There's nothing, Alistair.
No, there was something
there's
there.
Nothing there, and the fact that you would say there is insulting.
No, it's not.
Can I just go back to my guy who builds tension, by the way?
Yeah.
Because I had an idea about, you know how we always talk about comedians who... die young, you know, your Andy Kaufman's. I mean, I don't know how young he was. Probably younger than me.
Probably like, I don't know, 30-something or 40-something.
I think he might have been in his 30s.
Yeah, but back then 30 was something different. Was you know, these days, these days 30 is like 45.
Yeah, that's correct. There's been some sort of dilation, time dilation.
And we live longer, you know.
Mm.
And they started, he probably started relatively early.
Yeah, and there were less people, less competition. Right?
And in the States, there's so much opportunity.
So much opportunity and very few people trying to seize that opportunity.
So really, they lead like 3 comedy lives in 10 years that we can have here.
Mm. Yeah. Oh,
so he was the equivalent of like somebody here.
It's like
here.
Dog years or something, you know?
Yeah, he was the equivalent of somebody here dying at like 89 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So now, over here, when someone dies at 89, we always say, oh, such a shame they died so young. Mm. They still had so much more to give and they were just starting to, you know, get good.
Yeah.
And it's just tragedy the way things went. But in America, you only say that if somebody dies in the sort of in their 30s or whatever.
Yeah.
But my point was, we'd already seen a fair bit of his career. I would like a comedian to die before they'd even got to the punchline of their first joke. Right.
Right.
Because really that is when they, I believe, have the most potential, right before that first punchline.
Mm.
Because we'll never know how funny it could have been.
Yeah.
And imagine how funny that first punchline could have been. And if that's how funny they were with their first punchline, imagine how funny they would have been in 5 or 10 years' time.
Mm. You know,
that is the absolute, whatever the point is, you know. It's the point.
Yeah.
It's that point.
The point of what I was saying. I'd just like to reiterate that.
Yeah. But, you know, so I think a documentary about a an open mic comedian
with the most potential.
With the most potential, they died, and they died at before they delivered their first punchline.
Mm.
20 seconds into their first set, right? And we get all these talking heads and all these people who trot out and talk about what could have been,
yeah,
and how sad it is. We get celebrities.
Sure.
Andy Kindler.
Yeah, get him in.
Yeah. Andy Daly, we get him.
Sure.
Andy Richter, get him.
Richter.
Andy Richter.
Oh, it would be great to get Richter.
Yeah,
it
would be so good to get. It would
be really good get.
Yeah. Andy,
well, Conan's going to be in town in...
well, then Andy Richter must be here.
Well, Andy Richter might be. I mean, are they ever apart?
I mean, in... No, I mean, there's a limit to how far they can get apart, I'm sure. You know, the diameter of the earth.
Like legal or?
I mean, Conan is quite high. It's quite tall.
Yeah, that's
so you
true.
Probably get further apart than
I guess,
a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a limit to how far you can get apart if you don't go on a spaceship.
Yeah.
Space shuttle or something
that's
like that.
Right. That's yeah. right. Which I don't think either of them is.
No, but I do like this idea. And I think maybe there's also something that can
Andy
be said.
Dick? Andy Dick, we could get Andy
wow.
Dick on.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Andy yeah. Irons, the
what about,
surfer? Did he
Andrew
die?
Andrew Santino, maybe?
No, Andrew. I don't know about this Andrew guy.
Are you sure? So just a bunch of Andys.
Hey, look, I mean,
but it'd be great if you didn't. Yeah, I mean, like, you're not saying, hey, we're only getting Andys on. but you do only get Andys on.
It's exclusively Andys. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So and but then all do we get to see his setup?
I think I think so. But I think there's so much, because it's not just about the joke. There's so much to deconstruct for these people to talk about, the confident way that they got the mic out of the stand or whatever, and the way that they, put their bottle of water down on the stool.
Sure, yeah.
Had stuff written on his hand. We can't make out what the words were, but the handwriting looks
and cool. He had such a lean use of language in those two, in that line that he used before he perished.
So efficient. Yeah,
such an efficient.
Economy.
Mm.
Mm.
I mean, it's sad to think of how good that joke could have been, and then obviously extrapolate to see how good his whole career could have been.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
could have been one of the greats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe two of them. We don't know.
He could have been two of the greats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something, isn't it? It's always very impressive when somebody is really good at two things, But you've always got to think that maybe they always tend to pick things that are a little bit related, I think,
Like ice hockey and
ice sculpture.
Sort of origami. Yeah, ice sculpture.
Sort of origami. Ice hockey and sort of origami. Sort of origami.
I was trying to stop talking so that you could say yours.
No, but I mean, I wish you hadn't. And I like the idea of someone trying to stop talking as well. If you see somebody... It's one of these cars that's out of control coming into a busy pedestrian area or something. You see them stamping on the brake, but they can't stop.
Yeah. Stamping on the brake. Imagine how suddenly you would stop stamping on the brake.
Well, they didn't stop fast enough, did they? They still hit all those people.
How do you know?
Because it was an analogy for what you did with the word origami. He plowed into those people like Alistair trying to stop saying origami.
So, for you, hitting a syllable cleanly is like hitting a person.
For me, not being able to stop saying a word before it comes out of your mouth is like being able to not stop a car before it hits somebody.
So then saying a word properly is like putting your foot down on the accelerator and confidently mowing through a group of people.
I mean, I didn't realize how good my analogy was, but it's flawless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is without flaw.
It's what I'm trying to achieve. I mean, it's what I was trying to communicate I mean, I guess there's no clearer way of communicating, I want to hit you with my car, than to actually hit someone with your car.
Mm.
Is there a more efficient way of saying it? Sort of in a way that people are...
Well, by actually hitting somebody with a car, you're doing a sort of... You're sort of transcending language in a way, and you're taking on this sort of almost muscular, sort of gritty realism that, you know, that you might have got from someone like a Bukowski or a Hemingway, you know? Like that, you know, they were the running into the flat out running people down of the text world.
But then I've wondered in the time while you were talking
whether Here's or what not, I was wondering while you were talking.
Yeah. Listen to we have a friend, a listener to this podcast who
you can call him a friend. We've been emailing.
Friend of the show,
Brian.
Brian. And he has named his podcast after
the alternative name of this podcast, which is Here's What I Was Thinking About While You Were Talking.
Yeah. And we've listened to at least one episode each.
I've listened to three episodes.
Okay.
It's my new favorite podcast. And they talk about just general topics. It's him and two other people. And
it's one of the most soothing things you'll ever listen to.
They all have incredibly soothing voices. Brian, I hope you take this in the way that it is intended, which is... I love your voice.
Yeah, but...
And you also pick friends with really good voices.
They all sound like they have tremendous inner peace.
Yeah, and I don't know how you get that. And to heighten the contrast with my life, Brian played a very short snippet of this podcast on his podcast, and it was just awful hearing my voice after listening to the... their beautiful voices this entire time. Also, it's a very funny and interesting podcast, so you should listen to it. Here's what I was thinking about while you were talking. I'll put a link in the show notes. Thanks, Brian.
Good work.
Keep up the good work.
Now, what were we talking about?
Look, I have absolutely
Oh, that's right. Here's the problem with... I thought that this would be the most direct way of communicating, that you want to hit somebody with your car when you hit somebody with your car.
Mm.
But really... You don't know if they wanted to hit you with their car
right.
until they get out of the car and you see their attitude.
Right, and this is like any artistic statement, okay? It's very much open to interpretation. You can't hope to know what the artist was actually communicating, you know, what they wanted to communicate. You can only experience the feelings, the sort of the almost visceral reaction that you get from art or being hit by a car. I would say not even almost visceral being hit by a car. I'd say visceral.
Visceral, yeah. Because I think, you know, it's just sometimes...
Sorry, vice regal.
Vice regal.
Why did I say that?
That's
Why
okay.
did I say that?
Well...
Why can't I just die?
You can, Andy.
That's what we've been saying this whole time.
I mean, anytime you've called out for help, I've said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Well, if you want to, Andy... what is stopping you? I wasn't going to go any further with that.
Okay.
I was going to say something about, you know, like when you try to communicate something, it never comes out exactly the way it was in your mind. But I couldn't think of another place to continue with that.
No.
So let's put a stop to that. Let's get out of that.
Here's
topic.
A joke I thought of.
Yeah.
Right. You know, hang on, this isn't part of the joke. You know, asparagus makes urine smell different, and vice versa.
There's a guy on this scene who's...
Really? Someone on this scene is doing that joke?
Yeah.
God damn it.
I think it's asparagus makes urine smell funny and vice versa.
So it's quite similar. Do you think I could do mine, though? Do you think I could still do mine? Because he said funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, I said different.
I would still go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, Don Tran.
Don Tran. He's a very funny joke writer.
Yeah, and it's a very efficient use of language, isn't it?
It is very efficient use of language. I mean, he cheated a bit by putting the word funny in his joke, which I think is always, you know.
Well, that always helps
a joke,
doesn't
it? Brain, doesn't
it?
Yeah, you know, you're like...
I'm ready to laugh. He just said funny. Must be a joke coming.
All right. Good.
Are there
I'm
any people
glad
who ride...
that's been done, that efficient joke.
Do you think there's ways of just getting a bull to just take you for a regular run?
There must be.
You know, like all this kind of aggressive bull riding.
Mm.
Surely, couldn't you just have a nice relationship with a bull?
Mm.
And just use it like a horse? Like, they seem very strong. They seem like they're definitely fitter, like more fit for carrying humans than horses.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've just got a thicker back. It wouldn't be as hard on the bull.
They've got real strong legs, it looks like.
Yeah.
And I've seen that people train bullocks and stuff, which I think a bullock is just a bull.
Right.
Yeah. And
like
they,
Sandra.
Like Sandra. And they use them to pull like plows and stuff. And you don't see those ones leaping up and down and going all crazy and dragging the plow all over the place. No, straight lines. Steady as she goes.
I mean, there could be rodeo plowing.
Yes.
You know, look, and I think that could also be added to rodeo, but I'm trying to look for more uses for bulls that are kind of more amicable.
Mm, yeah, well, I think, you know, what is the competition with rodeo, right? It is who can stay on the bull the longest, this angry bull. Well, what about...
Whereas the bull's game is who can stay under a human for the least amount of time.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if you have an amicable, as you say, a relationship with this bull, then surely the crowd would gather at the rodeo to watch a man, and the competition would be to see who even wants to get off the bull. Because they're having such a good time. Who can bring themselves to climb off the bull?
First.
You know, first. So it's a bunch of guys on bulls.
Mm.
And they all have such a good relationship with the bull. And the bull is so comfortable to ride. And the bull's so happy with the situation.
Yeah.
You know. And it would feel so good being, you know, having that powerful beast there and just being one and knowing that, you know, that you understood each other.
Yeah.
You know? And it would be hard to bring yourself to climb off. So the real rodeo, the real battle is within the mind.
Yeah, right. And so how do we make a version of that game where it's not like super easy to win by just getting off a bull? Like bringing in a bull.
You don't want to get off the bull.
I know, but what if like let's say somebody wanted to cheat and they just kind of they brought in this bull they didn't really like that much?
I like to think that the relationship between the man and bull would be so strong that you couldn't bring yourself to do that to the bull.
Yeah, right.
How about this? If you get off whoever gets off their bull first, the bull gets killed.
Oh my god. And so and so then why would you get off? Because then you win.
Because you want to win.
Yeah, but then that feels like somebody who brings in a bull they don't care about.
Once again, we're back to the people just bringing in bulls they don't have a strong relationship. Well, there's an honor system.
I know, yeah.
It's an honesty system.
But it's, you know, it's
really... like Frisbee. It's self, you know, ultimate Frisbee. It's self-refereed.
Look,
and you trust people to do the right thing, and they respond by, you know...
And I think I love this guy who really desperately... wants to try to make rodeo a more positive thing. And he's trying to find new ways to just make it a more kind of, you know, why can't we all just do this? Why can't we just love the bull?
Mm.
And it's difficult to part with the bull because it's such a good friend of yours. What about a man and his bull look into each other's eyes? And
whoever looks away. This is actually really, really nice. Okay, it's a test of how strong your relationship is with the bull.
Mm-hmm.
And you both just look into each other's eyes until one of you gets uncomfortable. It's the first one to break eye contact.
But it's like six farmers and their bull.
Yeah.
And they just have to look into each other's eyes and who can do it for the longest win.
Yeah.
Because they love each other the most.
Yeah.
Well, that's a clear sign. Either that or one of them is just catatonic. What's to stop people bringing in a catatonic bull?
Well, the bull will have to stand, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be some sort of tests as well, I imagine.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's an honor system.
And it is an honor system.
There's this thing that says, don't bring a catatonic bull. It's not in the spirit of the thing. I think this is the thing. And bulls are probably the smallest animal you could reliably do this with because they're so big and heavy that unless that I don't think you could move a catatonic one around easily enough to rig the game.
You're right.
So I don't think you could do this with dogs or cats because people would just get a catatonic one.
They could just
one.
Carry a dog.
Or dogatonic.
Yeah. Depending. Yeah, it would actually be a dog can't become catatonic, can it? There are catatonic people and there are dogatonic people.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a morning person.
I was going to say. So, yeah. Well, I think that's good. And then I guess also if you're staring into the eyes of a bull that doesn't love you, I think they get quite aggressive. They don't like you looking at them like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Have you ever been huffed at by a bull?
Trying to think. I've definitely been around bulls.
Like one time we were on the other side of a fence and there was some cows on one side and then the bull was on another side of a fence. He was separated from the cows.
Yeah.
But he was also not happy that we were there.
Yeah.
And he's going like...
Oh, which side of the fence were you on?
Well, we were on the third side of the fence.
Oh, three-sided fence.
Yeah.
Great.
So there was a fence separating us from all the non-human creatures. And then there was a fence in between the cows and the bull.
Mm. Sure.
So this was a three-part...
Yeah. Got
thing.
It.
Anyway, and he was very sort of... expressing its displeasure at just us being nearby.
I have been barged by rams, like sheep rams.
Yeah.
When they're in a similar state of sort of frustration.
And how was that? Have you ever been seriously hurt?
No, none of them had horns. Oh. But, you know, they have very hard heads because they smash them into each other as well. Like when they just charge.
Yeah.
Only from a few feet away, but they really...
Yeah.
Ow, I just punched my two hands together and it hurt quite a bit.
Yeah.
My two hands.
My three hands. It's like my three sons.
I got it. Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, imagine this. I don't know why I'm imagining this.
Okay.
But it's,
here we go.
It's normal guy. Sorry, I'm hit the mic. Normal guy, except where he would have normal genitalia. Penis in that, another hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you could do that if you didn't have to, if you didn't drink any liquid.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
Like if you didn't have to use genitals ever. Like what if you did sort of replace your buttock with
urination?
Yeah.
I thought somehow you were saying that you could achieve having a hand by not drinking. And I...
No.
No,
yeah, yeah. I feel like you would have to... undergo some pretty serious surgery and
you'd have
like
to
that.
Quit drinking.
You'd have to quit drinking. Sort of like somebody who's on dialysis.
Mm.
I think they don't drink water.
Dialysis? Surely they do. That's not true.
Well, my ex-girlfriend's mother was on dialysis and she didn't drink any liquid.
Is this the episode where we talk about all your ex-girlfriends?
No, this can't be the one. We'll save that for the 200th episode.
Okay, great.
We're going to have 25 hours.
Yes, and the names of all your ex-girlfriends will be the clues for people who listen into the podcast to tweet at us in a public forum, right?
People just tweeting at me the names.
And to let us know if they've listened to the full 25-hour podcast.
Okay.
It's not going to be possible, by the way, Alistair.
Why not?
I just think that the human body isn't capable of coming up with that many sketch ideas.
200?
I think it's like when you see people do like one of those marathons. I think like our bowels will just shut down. We'll just shit ourselves.
And
we'll be crawling on the ground.
Take a break and go shit.
I don't think we can.
Or we can just have another pair of shorts in the other room and just use the shower. We can come up with 200 sketch ideas.
I mean, I guess so. Yeah, how many have we come up on this podcast?
Three.
Oh, okay, you're right.
It is
we can come up with 200.
Wait, now what were we talking about right before we sat down? Oh, I was going somewhere. Oh, wait. Look, I can't remember if this was the thing.
Yeah.
But in the idea, in the same vein as Positive Rodeo, is there a guy who's just, he's got a lameness to him, but he's really trying to find a way to gamify loving your wife, right? And he's like, I want to make this a competition where you prove that you love your wife more, but it actually is a measure of how much you actually love your wife.
Yeah.
But also
when I get married to win.
Yeah, but he doesn't cheapen the
His
love.
His wife's name is Wynne.
I get married to Wynne. Winifred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to win a Fred. What am I doing this episode?
Let's just follow that.
Yeah.
That silly joke.
What, that one?
That the guy is in a marriage to, he got married to Winifred. But he says, I'm in this to win a Fred. But then, is this his way of saying that he's in it to win a guy called Fred? So he's entered, this is what the prize for this game where you prove that you win your wife, that you love your life,
you love your wife,
is actually a night with a man called Fred.
I never said anything about it being a night with a man called Fred.
No, but this is what it is. If you love your wife enough.
Yes. They let you spend a night with this guy called Fred.
They let you have a bisexual like night where you're with just this guy called Fred,
mm-hmm.
who's up for it.
Yep.
And he has agency.
It sounds like something that a church would do, is some sort of bizarre gay conversion type thing where like you prove that you truly love your wife and then we'll let you.
Then yeah, you can do it because everybody's got a little bit in them.
Yeah.
And I think we can, that's
is it,
the
is
way.
Is it like a version of The Purge?
Well, it's a bit like that. It's the church kind of making allowances, realizing they go, look, if we don't give people any outlets, then they are going to just do awful stuff and hide it and things like that. But if we just set the bar that they actually have to love their wife a lot and they can prove it through competition.
Yep. Then, I think God would have to be happy with that.
I mean, like, you're keeping the family unit together. Yeah.
More together than anything.
Yeah, because
it's heaps together.
Now, like, you would be, like, this sport would be increasing year by year the amount of love that men are capable of giving to their wives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Fred loves it as well, by the way.
Fred is so into it.
And he's super hot.
And he loves his wife.
And the tragedy for Fred is that there's nothing for him to win.
Well, I guess he must have just won this competition so many years in a row.
He won the Winifred competition.
Yeah, well, the other Fred who used to be there, who is Fred, the guy who came up with this competition.
But maybe Fred is like James Bond. It's just a name that they give to this person. It's like a ceremonial title, like the Pope and Fred.
You become
these
the Fred.
These are the two biggest people in the religion.
Yeah. And so he's now the Fred.
Mm.
And, and he got it from the first Fred, who was actually the Fred was the Fred who came up with this game.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And he loved his wife so much, and then...
And credit to the original Fred, he got this through the Vatican. He got it up.
That was his great achievement.
Yeah. What a guy.
But you could see how using, because now what the church is getting is they're not just getting...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting love, and they're not just getting this family unit.
Mm-hmm.
They're now bringing in, to strengthen the family unit, sports science.
Sports science, yes.
You know, they...
Gamification.
They're getting, people who can study love.
Mm-hmm.
And
Think of the data you'd get out of this.
Using data.
Data.
Actually increase the amount of...
You do this all this with your phone. Yeah, Fitbits and phones and stuff. And everything's wireless. Mm-hmm. You know, bath thermometers, everything. It's all wireless. All right?
And imagine how happy your wife would be for you and for her.
And for Fred.
And for Fred. Because she knows how good a lover you are. Yeah. And you've proven it through winning this competition. I can't see how this is bad for anybody.
No.
And then it's also a small step towards getting people within religion to be more accepting of homosexuality.
Is it?
Well, it's definitely a step closer than...
Is it?
I think so.
I think it's compartmentalizing. I think that's the risk. I think what we are risking here is just compartmentalizing and turning homosexuality into...
A reward.
A reward or, you know, something that is just a I don't know. It's outside of just normal relationships.
Well, then because they're like, oh, you still got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And so then I guess they make it seem like it's a wrong thing.
I suppose.
I know, but...
It's almost like there are flaws in this idea.
I know, but Andy, this is a religion that's, first of all, not got a lot of experience at changing.
Mm.
Right? And then they also don't have a lot of experience in accepting, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Things like homosexuality.
Yes.
And so there's going to be some missteps along the way.
Sure.
Things that are going to seem like they're getting better, but really people become very aware very quickly that things are making things worse.
So is that what we're suggesting?
That's what we're suggesting.
We're pitching something that'll make things worse?
No. We're not pitching something. It's that in our ignorance, when this has been pitched back in... When this has happened, this is not us. We're not. This is not our reality.
Thank God, it's not us.
It's not us. This is them.
Yeah.
They're gonna realize later on that this wasn't the best thing.
Mm. And that's a learning experience.
And once they know that, they're already on the road to making to making it better.
And then they realize that all of this was just another test. Really realizing that was flawed. It was another test, which gets you points in a different game.
Yeah.
Which allows you to spend a night with Fred's dad.
I mean, they could also be a similar game for if you can prove that how much you love God.
I think that is so on it. And if there isn't already a new religion that is like all these attempts to do like revolutionize democracy by having direct democracy, you know, where everyone votes on everything via an app. If there isn't already one of those, but a religion where you are all... You know, chipping in, voting on everything, that sort of thing. The religion is dynamic. You get it. You have stats. You have updates on whether or not you're getting into heaven.
Mm.
You know, and if the bar changes for what's required to get into heaven, that data's all there on your phone.
Yeah, and you can see the clear path. It just shows you what you got to change in your life real quick.
Yeah, like you're competing with your dad on some running app. Mm. You're on Strava with your dad.
Yeah, that's happening now.
Well, why can't there be that? But for, you know, being a good person.
Well, I think China's just rolled out a thing like that. Mandatory.
And how's that going?
And I think for some people, I think it's going bad, but they've been doing the wrong thing, Andy. So So you'll be fine as long as you're doing the right thing.
I wonder if complaining about the app is one of the things that you're not allowed to do.
Oh, yeah.
I think if I was designing it, I would have put that in there first. That'd be like the first thing, saying you can't complain about this.
And do you think it's always listening? Do you think that you can't? Do you think that program or whatever is always just listening to your phone?
This is crazy. How could you possibly process that much data, though?
Yeah, that's true.
And couldn't you just?
But do you think it can read your emails like the Google thing?
It could definitely read your emails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it can go? Do you think it can judge how good a person you are, but also know when you need to have suitcases advertised to you?
Yeah, I think when it starts advertising suitcases for you, you know that you're about to be sent away to some kind of re-education camp or something like that. But hey, you're going to be able to get a good deal on those suitcases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it pops up with a little alert. You're being sent away to a re-education camp, but don't worry, 50% off. Samsonite for one day only.
Slippy, slappy.
What's that?
Samsonite.
Is that one of their slogans?
Well, no, it's just a line from Dumb and Dumber. He goes, she had her name on her suitcase. What was it? SS. Slippy, slappy. Samsonite. I was way off.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. If you could have wings, do you think that's something you would want? Like wings so that you could actually fly, but you would have to use the energy to fly.
No, that's fine. I can use the energy to fly. I mean, the wings have been designed for that, and I presume like my body is in some way adapted. I've got hollow bones, and I probably, you know, that sort of thing. Do I have hollow bones?
Well, no, they've built wings that can work without you having to have your bones hollowed out.
Okay, sure. But then how much? But is relative to my body, am I still making the same amount of effort that a bird makes?
Yeah, you know? Like it's a lot of effort.
It is a lot of effort.
So it is going to be a lot of effort, and you also have to carry these wings
now,
around.
Yeah, and that's the next thing, isn't it? Where do the wings go, and how much do they fold up?
Well, they're sort of, they're on your back, like they start on your back.
Yeah.
But then I think they'll probably go in with your arms a little bit as well. I think they'll have their own muscles.
So they are separate to my arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like nothing, like no other creature on earth. I have separate wings.
Yeah.
And I still have my arms. Because this is the duck. You look at a duck, and if ever you want an example of a creature that knows what to do with its wings, you look at a duck, because they're just so beautifully shaped to the edges of the duck.
Yeah.
The duck edges. But also, you know, and while there's they blend in, but then also there's a few just little flecks of color and stuff to just pick out the wings so you know that they're there.
Mm.
It's a masterclass of design.
No, absolutely. Right? But
so are my wings going down my sides?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to be all on your back.
Where do they go?
Well, you're probably going to have to slide your wings over the back of the chair.
Like you're hanging a jacket.
Yeah, like you're hanging a jacket because, yeah, you are getting these retrofitted. So that's why.
You know what this means? No booths. No sitting in a booth for you.
No? Yeah, I guess not.
I could live in a world without booths.
No, but you could sit on your wings.
Sit on your wings.
It'd just be uncomfortable a little bit.
Yeah.
Now you are saying that you would like wings.
No, I don't want them because I can't give up on the booth.
No, but let's say you are saying okay.
Oh wow. Okay.
Let's picture the scenario in which you do want wings.
Yeah. All right.
Try. Okay. Let's say we're in a world that doesn't have booths. So
I'd kill myself.
Well, I know you don't want to live. But let's say you did.
But I've never known what booths are, so it's not like a sense of loss. It's just a sense of ennui.
Exactly. Yep. Right. It's just this loss that never happened, but you never gained. Also.
Yeah.
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 So now you do have the wings. Okay, you're getting the wings.
Mm.
Okay, and you probably will also have to use your arms when you're flapping. Okay, just because. It's going to take a lot of muscle to get these things going. So you're going to there'll be some flesh handles on there that you can also get in on. But once you're gliding.
So there are flesh handles on the wings that I can grab with my arms and help my wings, which are also connected and have their own muscles, but they're not strong enough to flap by themselves.
To get you off the ground. That's right. Where it's going to be really tough.
Yeah.
I think once you're in the air gliding.
Oh, yeah.
You can let go of the flesh handles and you'll fly through the air or glide.
Let go of the flesh handles.
Yeah. Now,
George, if you're listening.
Now, I was wondering, what model of the wings would you go for? Would you get ones with feathers, right? Or would you get ones that are kind of like a skin, like it's a human skin?
Oh.
So I guess you would...
Just very thin film stretched like between sort of bony finger-like sort of things.
Sort of things like that, but it would be your skin color.
Oh, I mean, it like sounds that. Beautiful, doesn't it? Does the light sort of come through them and pick out the veins and that sort of thing?
Yeah,
yeah, it's all very that's much, visible.
Well, actually, a lot of them, it really is just a light skeletal structure.
Yeah.
And then with testicle skin over the top.
Yeah. And it turns out there was enough.
That was all it took.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you have to keep getting your wings
waxed. So it's hairy then.
You got to keep not whacked, keep getting your wings waxed so that they don't lose their aerodynamicness.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to
you keep going.
And that
go
is you think about that thin film of skin. So like a several meters worth of testicle skin that has to be waxed on a regular basis in order for me to achieve the incredibly difficult and exhausting feat of solo man-powered flight.
Yeah, but it'll be hard to get up.
Or I could have feathers.
It'll be hard to get up, but once you get up there, you will soar. You'll soar, like you'll right. You could catch updrafts and things
I'll
like that.
I'll be sore.
You'll get to know the air like you've
I'll
never
ride.
Known it before. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll ride breezes and, mm-hmm. and gusts. And
I'm going to get very cold, aren't I, with that thin surface area. It feels like something we've already talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, but you can cover them in grease.
Okay. Yes. Yes, all right.
You know, and I think that can seal in some of the heat.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, ancient Inuit people, I mean, from hundreds of years ago, mm-hmm. would cover themselves in sort of seal blubber.
Mm. Yeah, so they could fly.
Well, you know, if they had had the wings. Do you think you would go for this?
So my choice is between that one with the skin and feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll go the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And, but like, knowing that people are doing this and it's working, right?
Okay, so I'm not born into this world.
No, well
I am born into a world where there are no booths.
There are no booths, but you get to decide whether or not you want wings.
But then having wings is an option.
Is an option. But then it looks difficult because it looks like you have to get quite physically fit,
mm-hmm.
but you get to fly.
Now, once I've got the wings,
yeah.
if I get out of shape and I'm no longer able to get off the ground, can I have the wings removed? Or am I now just out of shape and I have these huge, like, testicle hairy wings?
Yeah.
Which I'm probably not taking good care of either.
I don't think it would be a good idea to get them removed. I think it will probably cause a fair bit of damage. You had to have these things pretty deeply embedded into your sort of...
Yeah, right.
Like, it has to be... embedded into your skeletal system.
I think this is a huge commitment. I don't like it's like buying it's like you lose a little bit of weight and you buy a size 32 pair of pants, okay? And then you've made a mistake because that is your minimum level.
Yeah.
You know?
But
I'm going to go up again to a 34 and I'm going to find it really uncomfortable to wear those 32s.
But try to like think
and
of
then
it.
I'm going to feel bad every time.
Yeah, but I'm picturing let's say you know your parents' old house in Tasmania.
Yes.
Right. You know, you walk outside the door, and then there's just kind of downhill areas all around, and those are perfect places where you can just sort of run, spread your wings, and then as the you know the hill keeps going down, you just keep going straight. You know, we're at a much shallower decline like that, and then you're already up. And in times like that, it's not hard to fly. And now you're gliding over trees and up and around. You're finding drafts. You're climbing.
I love a good draft.
You know, an updraft.
Yeah.
You know, avoiding the downdrafts.
Oh, like yeah.
That. You know, you could go into town, grab a coffee straight away. You didn't have to use any petrol or anything.
I'm a
like
real
that.
Downdraft dodger.
So I don't know. Is it a yes or a no?
It's a yes. It's a yes. It's a yes from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a sketch? That's the question.
I think people encountering the decision whether or not to...
I think this could be a round on our game show where people sure. ask people. I don't know how they get points.
Maybe if they prove that they love their wife.
Yeah, okay, great. But I think the do you want wings scenario...
Do you think
it's a good round on the game?
Do you think when you were deciding whether or not you'd be like, I better ask my wife, or do you think this is a decision like?
You come home and you've got wings. I know. I remember the time when my dad came home and he bought a dinghy, and that was a point of discussion for quite some time. I think if he'd come home and he had wings. It's also a bit of a selfish thing to come home with without asking your
wings?
Wife. Wings? Wings. Because it's just for you.
I know,
unless you can grab your wife like you're an eagle swooping down to snatch a rabbit from amongst
the
grass.
Well, I mean, that's how you would reveal it to her.
Oh, what a reveal.
I mean, she's outside.
As soon as she realizes she hasn't been taken by a condor,
yeah.
She's going to be so relieved. And that's the perfect time she's going to be happy then.
Well, I mean, that's if you, especially if you've got that added extra of those talons that lock in.
Mm.
you pick her up by, you know, like her overall straps.
Yep.
You know, like that. You just strap in there. Didn't scratch any flesh, you know, luckily.
Because you've already got the hang of this
by
thing.
By the time she realizes what's happened.
Yes.
You're already about 50 to 100 feet up in the air.
And you're in a very strong negotiating position vis-a-vis, was this a good use of our shared savings?
I know, but the reason why I ask is I don't think I would expect my wife to ask, you know, like for me to get any kind of say in whether or not she wants wings. I think whether or not she gets wings.
Yeah.
I think I'd be like, you know what? If you want wings. Mm-hmm. You can get wings. I guess maybe some of the financial stuff probably would come into it. I go, well, yeah. I guess it is our money. But but really, if you want wings and that's what you want.
Do you think that if one of the people in your relationship had wings, it would then become very sort of a bit of a pressure for that person to always be the one who has to go down to the shops, you know? Because you can fly.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't, you know.
I already have that because I'm the only one with my driver's license. So that wouldn't bother me if I also got wings.
You know? Well, it would bother you because it would be real hard sitting down in the car.
Yeah, that's true. But then you would get that retrofitted as well.
The car? Different kind of car?
No, I don't know. Maybe just take
different
that,
seats.
Take the headrest off because you'd always be able to rest your head back on your wings.
Oh, they stick up, do they?
I think they would have to go up there. They would have to fold up there like that. There'd be the elbow would kind of probably be above your head.
There's an elbow.
Well, there has to be.
All this is coming out.
For them to fold out.
For them to be able to. I don't think they could just swing out, couldn't they? I don't think ducks have elbows.
Or would you go for that?
Do ducks have elbows?
I think so.
Maybe all birds have got an elbow in there.
How are they packing them back in?
Oh, because the wings are definitely bigger, aren't they? When they're out than when they're packed away.
Yeah.
They must fold up.
Here's the third option for the kind of wings you would get. Beetle wings. So you get that hard back.
That carapace.
Yeah, you get that hard back that opens up.
That carapace.
Yeah, that thing. I don't have certainty that that's the right word. I'm not going to so boldly.
Oh, you're going to make yourself a fool of yourself.
I'm not going to make myself a fool. Hard back is what I call it. And then those delicate little feathery wings. Mm. There's no feathers on there, but you've never seen such a delicacy.
Transparent, you know.
Transparent.
Yeah.
It's essentially stained glass.
It is a lot like stained glass. Mm. That's really interesting. You know what? I might go with that one.
Yeah.
Because they really do fold those wings away in there.
Absolutely.
And that hard back, I think I'd love it to have a hard back.
Mm.
Great for breakdancing, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and getting spins. Stabbed in the back.
And yes.
I guess the one thing is with the folding them back up. Does it happen easily or is it like one of those tents that just kind of pops out and then you got to figure out the right way to twist them?
Yeah, they seem like a good idea when you're putting them up, but then putting them back down again, you're in a world of trouble. Yeah, I think I'd still go with the beetle wings. Yeah, lightweight. Hard back.
Yeah, I think I'd go big fleshy things.
Big flesh testicle wings.
You could put like a windbreaker over the top of it. Over the top of your wings.
Mm.
You know, like the big flesh ones. Mm. Put a nice little windbreaker on the top.
I don't think you could do that if you were flying.
Not while you're flying. You put it on before because you know it's going to be colder up there.
No, but I think you couldn't fly with a windbreaker over your wings. For an aerodynamic point of view, that'd be a nightmare.
But isn't that how those gliders work? Those regular things that people jump off of.
Well, they have windbreakers on.
Hey,
they have windbreakers on them.
Andy, you're purposefully trying to not understand.
I am not purposefully trying to
glider.
Understand what you are saying.
A hang glider is just a metal frame with a windbreaker hung over the top.
A hang glider is a metal frame with very special. Kind of fabric stretched over it, very thin.
Yeah.
Right? It's that is making the wing.
Yeah.
Right? A windbreaker is like a thick, sort of woolly, dense thing that sort
woolly.
Of would flap around.
No, it's not woolly. A windbreaker is just a thin.
Is it? What are you. Really? What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, all right then. Sorry.
Should we go to the three words from our listener?
Three words from a listener.
Yeah, but a listener. Who who, you know, donated to the Patreon, $3 at least.
It's a beautiful thing.
And can suggest three words.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And today's Patreon supporter is Shane Trawartha.
Shane, thank you so much. You know, your surname makes me think of Bridge to Terabithia.
Maybe you have a type of synesthesia, Andy.
Yeah, maybe.
Where somebody saying something makes you think of another thing.
Yeah. Because I wasn't paying attention, which I actually, you know, barely am. I'm trying to get up something for later in the podcast on my phone.
Well, that's good. Maybe I'll also check my phone while you're doing that.
Oh, and, Alice, no, don't do that. You've got the words right there. Tell me the words.
Okay, no problem. I got the three words here, and they're a doozy. Okay, we got one.
Wait, what? Wait, the one of the words is one?
Word number one is one.
Okay.
Okay. Word number two is one.
I don't know if this is within the rules.
Like I won.
Oh, I one of the people in this room. Like if you don't know how language works.
I won the competition for the person who loves his wife the most.
Yep, okay, right.
And the third word, can you guess what the third word is?
Is it Juan?
It is Juan.
One, one, one. One,
one, one, one.
One. You know, Juan Antonio Samaranch, probably one of my favorite ones. Then, of course, there's Juan Carlos Ferreira.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Well, I mean, Juan Antonio Samaranch, what was that guy?
Juan Antonio Samaranch.
Samaranch. I mean, he was present at the and probably was he president of the Olympic Committee?
I think he was. He was president.
He was at the time.
At the time, he was the president. 2000, and he was present.
After, and he's also the man who announced that Sydney
won. He presented it to Sydney. Yeah, sure.
That Sydney had won.
One.
One chance at the.
Not one chance.
No.
They had it.
They had it. Yeah, they had one chance.
Oh, I guess so. To do it.
They could have messed it up.
No one else had a chance. They had the one chance.
Yeah.
And they did. They were always going to do it. Or maybe not.
Not if they hadn't won.
Imagine if we hadn't got it together to do the Olympics. You know?
Like if you just don't get it together?
Yeah, we're not ready. Sorry, everyone. Because really, that's the first competition, is getting ready to do the Olympics.
That's right.
In time.
Yeah.
And there should be a medal for that.
I wonder whether, yeah.
Did we get a medal for doing the Olympics?
I guess there is a gold of sorts that you sort of get and then spend on your city, sort of a quantity of gold.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you lose that. But I guess it's not something you get to keep.
No. But I guess and one it was medal. Yours to begin with, really, wasn't it?
Mm.
Like, I don't think the International Olympic Committee, they don't give you any money to do the Olympics.
But really, a gold medal is yours to begin with anyway, and you're the one who loses it. By not being the best.
What a beautiful way to think about it.
Yeah.
You already have the gold medals.
Yeah.
They're just invisible. And then when you lose a race at the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
you've given it away to one of the other people, which is either a beautiful thing to do or...
Because, I mean, where does the gold come from anyway? You know, like first of all, we're all potential winners. So then that gold is equally all of ours. But then also the gold comes from the earth, which belongs to all of us.
Do you think the fact that, could I use that somehow as collateral to get a house loan or something like that? I want another house loan. But in a hypothetical scenario where I don't have a house, I should be able to say, but look, we all share this beautiful earth.
Oh, maybe you could buy me a house.
This is good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
what about it's kind of a sketch about the city that doesn't
get it together to do
doesn't it. Get it together.
I think that's really funny.
Mm.
They just like, you know, all the media reports leading up are like, you guys are not going to be ready, and we're like, no, we'll do it.
No, we'll do it. We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine. It's always like this. Yeah. And then the opening ceremony, everybody's marching towards the stadium.
Also, I'm amazed that we even got a stadium. I guess
there is no stadium.
Well, I guess
they're marching towards it, but it's not there.
I'm amazed. like that people bother building a new stadium every time. Why not just use one of the stadiums you already got?
That is truly disgusting. When they did the Melbourne Olympics in 1956, they used the MCG for a lot of it, I think.
Yeah, right. Well, that's
I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it is truly sick and toxic, the fact that you have to build a new stadium for these people to do.
Oh, is that what the Olympics actually asks for?
Oh, I don't think you have to, but that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
So when I said you have to, I didn't mean you have to.
Yeah, right.
I just mean that you do have to do that, because that's what everyone does. I think not being ready. And I like that it is Australia. And then we go back to the... Maybe we even said it in Sydney 2000? Or should we do it... Is it in a future situation?
I guess maybe this might be a future city. It could be Adelaide gets it.
Yeah, great.
Adelaide gets it, and then they kind of, like, I mean, not that they're known for being slackers or anything like that, but what if you just kind of go, yeah, whatever, like that, when people are like, are you going to be ready? It doesn't look like they're going to be ready. We go, nah, whatever, like that. And then when it gets to it, we go, yeah, so what? We weren't ready. Okay. And? You know, it costs heaps.
Yeah,
you
know? We were looking at it last night, and it costs a fortune to build all this stuff.
Well, we're not going to be able to get it done by tomorrow.
No.
Or today. Let's just find a place where you can do it.
Or do something else, have a day off.
Yeah, like...
For 2 weeks. Like, what do you mean it goes for 2 weeks?
Rowing, you could do that anywhere. Anywhere there's so much ocean. There should be an Ocean Olympics. And then when they start pushing the idea. I know this seems crazy, but look, you're not going to be able to do it anywhere here. So why not just do it out in the ocean?
Because there's already, think about it, there's already a land Olympics.
Yeah.
There's always a
mountain Olympics.
Mountain winter Olympics.
There's no ocean Olympics, there's no underground Olympics now. Maybe you could do underground.
Are there any underground events? Are there any underground events in anything? Oh, I don't think we do. I don't think we do enough stuff underground.
There's no competitive tunneling, I don't think.
No.
Because there's very few things that are other than tunneling
that you can do underground.
Really do underground.
That involve being underground.
I guess even
reckon there is.
Breathing would
just
be
breathing.
An event.
Exactly. I think just being underground for ages.
Yeah.
Why isn't holding your breath an event at the Olympics?
That would be really impressive.
I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these guys, this is what they do. They go, well, we're not doing those regular events.
Yeah. Oh, they try and cover it up. Oh, it's because we're doing different stuff.
Yeah.
Holding your breath.
Yeah, we don't have a big stadium because we don't have any events that are going to need.
Yeah. We're just more efficient. We just worked out different stuff that you wouldn't need that. I think that's something. I think there's a sketch in that, you know? Trying, even if it's just, even if we see more in the planning stage of how they're trying to talk down the Sydney, the Olympic committee to say that we don't need these kind of, like, what is swimming? Swimming is really just holding your breath, isn't it? Can't they just do that on land?
You know? Yeah.
Cheapskate Olympics.
I like that.
Do you want to take us through the sketches that we've done so far today, Alistair?
All right, Andy. We've got insecure guy who hires someone to make himself seem spontaneous.
Yeah, that was so long ago.
It felt like so long ago. I mean, we're kind of somehow doing 1.5 hour episodes almost every time.
I don't know. It's crazy. I don't like it.
No.
I don't think anybody does.
Then we got the comedian with the most potential. He died, but he's got the most potential because he didn't get through his first joke. He didn't manage to say the punchline, but he said the setup, which made him a comedian.
Yeah.
So he became...
We looked it up in the dictionary. Technically, you don't have to have...
You just have to tell
it. It says in the dictionary, someone who does setups for jokes.
Mm.
And it doesn't say anything about it.
But any talking you do in the context of a comedy night is already kind of classified as comedy.
I think that is actually true.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to get some pity laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you're getting laughs. Pity laughs are a legitimate form of laughs. I think someone who does stadium tours of pity laughs would be impressive. it's like
the pity
somebody
laugh had, tour.
You're like, and word of mouth is really good, you know? Like people always are talking about this comedian. They're like, oh, no, you got to go see this person. They really make you want to laugh to make them feel better. I couldn't help myself from laughing.
But
to...
he's so good at it.
Yeah.
Or they.
They.
They are so good.
Yeah. Women can be bad at comedy too.
Yeah. Can or can yeah. If they want, if I guess they could be. I mean, I don't want to put any.
I know
limits.
That's not what you believe, Alistair.
Then we got the positive rodeo guy. So this is the guy really trying to start a positive rodeo movement. And one of the events is like, what about it's like a movement where it's like a, like what about something where you're not like riding the cow and it's angry with you? What about something where you can like a cowboy and his cow just look into each other's eyes for
That's
as long
exactly
as possible?
It.
And this bull. So it's like, a, you know, it should be macho, you know, or Gallinger bull.
I'm sorry?
Or a Gallinger bull.
Yeah, Gallinger bull.
Yeah. Gallinger bull.
Yep.
I'll call George. Then we got Winifred.
Yes. Now, this is a new religious innovation.
Yeah, it's where, you know, it's, well, it's also a competitive sport.
We
who loves their wife the most?
Heterosexual relationships.
And who can prove that they love their wife the most through a series of events? Like a decathlon, but...
And it's got to be real love as well.
And it's real love. And this, we're actually measuring love.
Yeah.
Like, it's
we
not
found
like...
found some sort of chemical in your brain. We tapped into that. We can measure that, so we'll
know.
We can
put you through to certain things, and we'll see how much you love. And it's not like who can carry their wife or anything like
and
that.
And it's not just caring for somebody as well, you
and
know?
It's not, yeah, and it's not like doing chores or whatever, because anybody could do that.
Anybody could do that. A robot could do that.
And then we've also got, oh yeah, then if you, sorry, if
and
you
it's
win,
not just being a good husband, it's not just being nice and, you know, yeah. be having a, you know,
because
anyone can do that.
Anybody can make up their mind and go, all right, I'll care about this person and I'll care for this person and I will do everything that I need so that both our lives are good. It's not just that. It's also
no,
has to be actual love.
Yeah.
Do you get the wings? This is the next sketch.
The format of this sketch is a little vague for me, but I think either it's around in our game show.
No, look, I think it's like, look, a guy turns on the TV, it becomes clear that now human wing technology is here, and it's not even a technology, it's just like we can now graft it onto your body and you will have wings. And then he's like, he sees an ad for that, and he's kind of like starting to contemplate whether or not, and then he does get them, and then starts seeing some of the downsides, and then he probably puts on weight, doesn't use them very much, you know?
I think it would be also interesting to see it as a dating show, but like a compulsory dating show where somebody is there, and the three suitors are three different types of wings.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are definitely going home with one type of wing.
Wow.
They're
not allowed to not get wings.
Yeah.
And then we have the didn't make it to get our city ready for the Olympics sketch.
Yeah. We were going to do it, but we didn't.
Oh, we just, no.
Stuff came up. We're
doing a different
Stuff
thing.
Stuff came up.
All right.
Thanks so much, everybody. It's time for the very special part of the podcast where we talk about George's band name ideas. I hyped on the most recent episode that there was a new development in the... In the Alex Schmitz Clayfish saga, because he'd pitched Clayfish to his band and they hated it, and then another member of the band got in touch and told us that he thought it should be Clay Shit because that's how bad he thought the name was. Anyway, another member of the band has got in touch.
Wow.
Alex's brother Zachary. Okay,
yeah.
So he's also a member of the band, and really, he says that the rest of the band, it wasn't the rest of the band that hated Clayfish; it was only Jacob. Who didn't like Clayfish and called it Clay Shit. He was the one who emailed to say that it was Clay Shit.
Yeah, right.
And he says that they've actually been going through the same struggle as George's band, okay? They haven't been able to come up with a name. So he has come and said he wants to shift the tables from George to them. He wants us to help them come up with a name for their band as well.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
maybe George will help decide.
How about this?
If George can't name his band, maybe he can name this band.
Oh, that's good. Well, I got a band name for him. What about this? Irukandji.
Irukandji is an incredible name.
Yeah, it's a jelly. It's a very small jellyfish that makes all your systems shut down.
I'll just run you through. I think that's very good, Alistair. I'm going to push for that, and I might even email them to that effect. I would just say that they had a lot of names that they were considering. Cripe and Cripers, Charlie Bucket is greater than Charles Dickens, Houseman, and they're currently rolling with Clunk, which I thought you would like.
They're currently rolling with Clunk?
Clunk is their current name.
Oh, I do quite like Clunk. That's often a style of comedy that I do around Andy, where I take away the brevity and smoothness of any comedic lines.
And you really clunk it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, Zachary, we're pitching Irukandji to you.
Yeah.
I'll ask George what he thinks of it, and we'll get back to you to see whether he reckons Irukandji is a good name for you guys.
But also Irukandji Clunk?
Irukandji Clunk. It's almost undeniable. Anyway, I asked them for more information about the band. They're located out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. I asked them what style of music they play. I know George hates that question. But, they said, most of us are inspired by the 90s alternative rock and metal scene. So if there was one thing we were similar to, it would be that. Anyway, I reckon Irukandji is a great name for that. Irukandji, small, incredibly deadly jellyfish.
Oh, yeah. Heavy metal. You know, he's probably got some heavy metals in them. There's at least a lot of heavy metals in the oceans from the bottoms of boats.
Yeah.
Because of the, trying to stop barnacles from growing on there.
Is it whether they paint like mercury on there and stuff, do they? Lead and...
I don't know which exact gold, ones. I apologize, Andy.
Platinum.
We got to get going.
We got to get out of here. So I'm so sorry. I really dragged this out. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Take care.
Review us. You can find us on Twitter. Review us on iTunes.
And you can always support us on Patreon.
Support us on Patreon.
If you can't do that and want to just write us a review, feel free to do that. We love you. Thank you very much. Take care of yourselves.
We love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.